If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
And here we go, a St. Patrick's Day version here of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, episode 21, live here from the WGN Radio studios on WGNRadio.com. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the publication known as The Red Eye, as we broadcast live from the Tribune Tower on the Mag Mile on this beautiful Thursday. Isn't it ironic that the 21st episode that we've had is on St. Patrick's Day? I don't think that's coincidence, my man.
It's not a coincidence. And just let me say, I understand you having to remove the tiny hat for the broadcast. There's no reason to take off the beads.
I had to take off the beads. And you got to provide some context to this. This is radio. This is theater of the mind. Go ahead. Now, why? Talk about the little hat.
Well, I just assume that all our listeners are glued to my Twitter and our Facebook page, and they saw the Happy St. Patrick's Day picture we posted right before the Blackhawks. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast in our Irish flair.
You brought me some flair because I did not have any.
You didn't seem like you were that enthusiastic about wearing green. Like you didn't even know if you had any. So I thought, I got a couple odds and ends. I'll bring them.
I'm colorblind. So anyway, so you dressed me up. You dressed me up basically like a.
It's like a personal stylist.
Like a circus monkey. I had a little hat on and some beads. We took a nice little picture before. We got it on the Facebook page, which we love. It is facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. He mentioned Twitter. He's at Scott King Media on Twitter. I am at Jacobson Radio. Use the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy. We love questions. We love comments. And more importantly, we love you. So it is St. Patrick's Day today. And we were talking before. It's unofficial St. Patrick's Day was last Saturday, which was the 12th. And I happen to be working because I produce the wonderful program known as The Beat from 3 to 7 on Saturdays, which, everyone's listening
quality
to.
Quality show.
Great production. Host Adam Hoge and Mark Carmen. And we do it from the Allstate Studios. Now, we do our podcast here from the 7th floor of the old Cap and Haw Studios. Allstate Studios are downstairs where we have the windows right on Michigan Avenue, and you see everything.
You do. And people come right up to the windows and mess with you. I know, because I used to be one of those people before you guys let me in the building.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And people, they want to talk to you. And we do have actually a mic. Last Saturday was not the time to use a mic because...
We have a mic outside?
We do.
Is it like in the glass or something?
Yeah, it hangs right below...
I don't know if I ever noticed that.
Yeah, so we can't talk. No way we were going to use it last week because... Right outside our studios was absolute insanity with unofficial St. Patrick's Day.
It's almost exclusively be used on unofficial St. Patrick's Day, I would say.
Between 3 and 7 last week, I saw a man who clearly urinated himself. I saw many, and I'm talking many, groups of girls crying or consulting friends that were crying. I saw some puke. I saw a guy who basically flashed us. It was man. So I got to see his nipples.
You're talking back or you're talking front?
Front.
Okay, that flash was not nearly as bad as I thought it was.
And there was another person who apparently, right by Amy Guth, who was on the show on after us, she was in her office, which is also downstairs. It's one of those types of windows where you think you can see through, but you can't. Like, when you're on the outside, you don't think anybody can see you.
Right.
And this person peed right on the window and right where she was sitting.
So you're saying there's a two-way mirror at the bottom of Trim Tower?
It was
tricking people?
It was quite an event last Saturday for unofficial St. Patrick's Day. So you don't see that really now.
Today's the real one, and luckily on the way in here, I didn't see anything too crazy.
No, it's not. I mean,
people are working.
People are working. It's Thursday. Yeah. You'll get your drunks out tonight. But if you are going to go out and celebrate, a piece of advice here from the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Just be safe. Have fun. I enjoy my cocktails more than anybody. But just be safe. Get a DD. That's what Uber's for. That's what a taxi's
for. So, real quick, I want to share this.
Are you getting deep here?
I'm getting very deep. I went to Macy's over the weekend.
Here we go.
My wife needs to get some things, and I saw a pair of shoes out of the corner of my eye in the shoe department. And I'm a big fan of walking shoes that are firm, but there's actually you get a good bounce and good cushion on the bottom. Like, I need comfortable walking shoes.
Like a bounce.
Even better when you can slip them on. They're my favorite. So I saw these.
No idea where this is going, by the way.
Just wait for it. So I tried them on, And right before I tried them on, I asked the salesman, they're Skechers. I never bought Skechers before. I asked the salesman, I'm like, so Skechers, do they tend to run big or small? And he says, I don't know. I've never sold Skechers to a man before.
Wow. That's a smack to the face.
Long story short, wearing them right now.
Wow.
So
that's something. So how do you react to something like that?
I'm comfortable with my manhood. I own Skechers.
Really?
Yeah. He made me feel like
brown shoes. They're like brown shoes. They're like boots. Okay. But
so you got a man color because you know that they're
a women's shoe. Dude, Joe Montana used to be. Remember, he used to plug them.
Did he really?
Yeah, like last year.
Yeah, I knew they weren't like popular for dudes, and I never had them before, but I didn't want to be humiliated in front of my family.
Now, if you're getting stilettos or something, then we got something. Yeah. Then we got a different issue.
Yeah, but you know what? Skechers? He did give me a discount, and I didn't even ask him. So.
So the guy kind of throws an insult your way and then probably feels bad and says, all right, here you go. Here's 10% off.
I just like to share a nugget out of my life on the show. I think people appreciate it.
It was a little embarrassing, but we all have those moments.
Yeah.
And speaking of embarrassing.
I'm glad you stuck up for me on that one.
I just hit the bill of my cap up against the mic.
It's because it's an exciting story I just told.
Yeah, that's right. That's funny, though. But again, I really don't think – I never considered Skechers like a woman type of shoe. Like, I've seen plenty of men wear Skechers.
You make me feel a lot better about
my
purchase.
And I own a pair of Skechers.
Yeah, they're comfortable. They're cool. I like them.
And there you go.
They can sponsor us if they want.
I'm actually having fun. Do we have to talk hockey?
I could talk shoes if you want.
We can talk shoes all day, baby.
I mostly get Adidas or Pumas. Pumas have a lot that you can just slip on that are comfortable.
I'm a big Vans guy. See, I never wear gym
shoes. Big skateboarder, are you?
No, I just like they're comfortable. I like the style. I like the look.
I agree. They're comfortable.
And I go, I like Adidas too. So now that that's settled.
Done.
Big news of the day today for the Blackhawks as we transition into Blackhawks from Skechers to Vans to Adidas to Blackhawks. Corey Crawford. Find out today that upper body injury, he is quote-unquote day-to-day. He will not travel to Winnipeg. The Blackhawks trying to snap their four-game losing streak tomorrow against the Jets. Andrew Ladd returning home.
Yeah, whenever,
back to his old home.
Not sure when you guys give this a listen, but Friday they're going to play the Jets. So tomorrow's Friday.
Yes, yes.
And Darling just played last night, Wednesday.
Yeah, so we get the news today. I got the press release saying that they called up Michael Layton, a goaltender, who they just signed actually earlier in the year to an extension, up from Rockford. And I said, okay, what's going on here? And you kind of put the pieces together. Scott Darling plays last night. And you're like, okay, so something's going on. So Corey Crawford has an upper body injury. But Q has said that he's been planning for a week to get Scott Darling in front of the home crowd.
Yeah, but definitely before last night. So I think even earlier in the week, he said he was going to give him the game tomorrow. And Crawford, he set a record for not just career wins this year, but also games he's logged, minutes. He's played a ton. So I do think this could be something new. If it's been lingering, it has been that long. I think Darling would have played yesterday anyways, is my thought. And they say day-to-day. If it's a goalie, you got to call up another goalie just for the backup purpose.
Oh, of course.
So it's not like this could. They're just saying day-to-day and this could be a long-term. It's day-to-day. Whatever it is, it's day-to-day. And he needs the rest.
Yeah.
Playoffs are coming up.
Yeah, and it's, like you said, it's going to be very temporary, I think, with Michael Layton. I don't think he's, but who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets they just want to be a little more cautious. You have Darling play maybe Friday again, and maybe the next game. Do they play Sunday? I forgot.
Play Sunday.
Okay. Then maybe I wouldn't be surprised if Layton gets that game. People shouldn't forget that he was, the Flyers goaltender in 2010 for the final. He was the goalie on the ice where Kane scored the overtime goal, and he's been doing really well in Rockford. They really like him there, so he'll give you a good veteran presence on the ice, and especially in the locker room. It's good to have those kind of guys too. So, and I think this is when you see a goalie injury, or let alone a key player, but especially a goalie. Look at what happened last year with the goalie battle with Ranta and Darling, how much momentum they got out of that. You have those guys pitching shutouts, trying to win a job. Layton knows he's going back to Rockford, but still, you might get a lift if you have a veteran goalie play. Those guys know how to anticipate where shooters are going to be. They know where to look for a puck. I think it could be a good thing because I think they have a key guy down. This is when they rally. They've had They got good acquisitions. They've had the team intact with Hossa returning. And this is the time of year where they usually get a little complacent. So now they have a reason to play to make sure they secure some more points before the playoffs.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, Sunday they have the Friday, if you're listening to this, again, when I'm referring to tomorrow, I'm glad you told me that. Friday they have the Jets. They're in Winnipeg. And then they come back home for Sunday's matchup with the Wild. That's going to be a 7:30 puck
Wild
drop
Sunday,
there.
Right.
So
I'm going to be there Sunday, actually. I'll be writing a blog on it for WGN.
There you go.
So make sure to follow my Twitter, at Scott King Media.
At Scott King Media. And then I help him post his blog post at WGNradio.com. We're really good about putting it out there socially, too. So he'll put it on his Facebook page.
Facebook.com/
Blackhawks Crazy, and then it'll be all over Twitter too. So, and we always enjoy reading Scott King.
Thank you.
Whenever he covers a game. So, last night, fourth straight loss for the Blackhawks. Even Q was like encouraged after the loss, because I mean that Kings loss in this 4-game losing streak was brutal. The Stars did not look good there either. Blues didn't really look that good either, but I felt like there was some positives to take out of that loss yesterday, and I thought that they were going to tie it up at the end. I know you kind of thought you were a little more skeptical. I thought they were. I mean, they kept making rushes, and I said, "Oh, they got to finally do it," and then they didn't.
I thought they were pushing really hard, but you can't. Even the Blackhawks can't come back every game and tie every game late and go on to win every game. It's just, you know, things have been trending downward for them. And I completely agree. It's a great point that it was a good effort last night. This was not where you're getting blown out by the Blues and the Stars. I thought it was a very exciting game. They were pushing a lot. Taves could have had another goal. Him, Panarin, and Kane had some A-plus chances right by the net, open net, just didn't go in. Those will go in later. So it's not, you know, their luck will change. They get a little more puck luck. The key thing is you're getting a much better effort out of everyone, especially the core who, you know, from what I've seen and the research I've been doing the last few games, is that the core guys have been the ones who've been logging, you know, the low plus-minus ratings. Guys mm-hmm. have been minus, at least minus one, minus two, even Ladd minus three against the Kings. So I like the acquisitions. Those guys are fitting in the bottom six especially really well. And good to see them play again. Hard again last night.
Taves with his 25th goal last night, 90 points for Patrick Kane. And he's kind of been in a little bit of a slump, I guess you would say. I mean, for a guy that has 90 points, it's kind of hard to say that. But he has been in a little bit of a slump.
No, he hasn't been red hot like he was most of the season. He's got 11 games to get to 100 now.
I saw a really cool tweet, too, and I would love to give credit to who it was, but I can't remember now. It could even have been an ESPN stats and info thing or whatever. But Patrick Kane, first to 90 points since 2013-14. Sidney Crosby, he had 104 at that point, which is unbelievable. But he's the first Hawk with 90-plus points in a season since Jeremy Roenick did it in 93-94. How about that?
That's crazy.
And he had 107 points that year.
Stallion.
So. That's pretty cool.
He had three straight 100-plus point seasons.
And they went nuclear last night.
Nuclear early.
Yeah.
They've been showing that at practice in the morning skate.
Fleischman, Taves, and Kane. Taves and Kane on the same line.
And then you got second line, Panarin and Anisimov, Hossa, which that line looked really good.
Yeah.
That line looked really good.
Hossa got his first goal in like 5 weeks. He's three away now from 500. He's got 497 career. He's three away.
Of course, it was a shorty. You know how Hossa loves shorties?
Yeah.
Nice breakaway
goal.
Well,
the way the penalty kills looked, it was kind of nice to see a shorthanded goal if you're a Blackhawks fan. But we'll get into special teams, too. I mean, the power play's been struggling. That was their go-to thing.
Yeah.
Power play struggling. Yeah. That's an issue.
Yeah, someone asked about that. I got a little more on that. I was just going to say real quick, the other thing I liked, the other line I liked a lot, that third line is a real smack in the mouth with some skill line, Ladd, Tervain, and Shaw.
Yeah.
You kind of want to see them stay together, but the reason they got Ladd is to be a top six guy. So
Tervain has been struggling with faceoffs, though, man.
Yeah, you're right. I've liked his game otherwise, but
yeah.
he's got to be a little better on a dot, especially for the playoffs.
And he's getting over being sick, too.
He was. He was ill.
See what happens there. And then Machinter, Desjardins, and Weiss mm-hmm. on the and Weiss had a really nice check last night.
I thought he's been good. And he's been – I think he's been plus. He was kind of in a doghouse from some comments Q made early on when he got here. But I think the last two, three games I've really liked how he's played.
And then the one thing that kind of stuck out to me last night, and a lot of the reporters were asking the players, was the 5-on-3 that they did not look – like they were prepared for it. They were, everybody was out of place, and it's like, why get the puck to Patrick King? What's going on here?
I thought they
had plenty of opportunities to score. I think Seabrook had a chance, if I remember right. I mean, 5-on-3, they've been really, really good this year. I think it was they're 8 out of 11, or I don't know, something crazy.
They have been good, yeah.
And, you know, the power play has been their bread and butter all year. They were atop the entire league just a week ago or so. But
they were
now,
third last night before the game was finished.
Yeah,
they were third.
Yeah, but they've been slowly dropping because, I mean, they have not scored on 14 straight power plays.
5-on-3, it's obviously
5-on-3,
much easier to create chances that way. You just got to cycle a little and get a shot off. Yeah, I thought they took too long to even just the passes. They really were taking their time, and you don't want that extra guy to come out. You gotta create a chance right away on a 5-on-3. Get something to the net. Get a guy to the net.
And I thought the effort was there last night. You watched that Kings game; they looked tired and uninterested. I didn't really think they played well in St. Louis, but it could have been worse.
Yeah,
but and then the Stars was an ugly game. But it's just when you're playing, you know, the top teams in the Western Conference and you look that bad against those three, that's a little discouraging. But every year the Hawks go through this, and it's usually March.
It is March.
It's
mid to late March.
So that's why you can't get too panicked if you are a Blackhawks fan. But, and you know, last night you run into a team in Philadelphia, they're 8-1-1 in their last 10. I mean, and they just got the eighth spot in the East, so they're battling for points.
They're fighting hard for a playoff spot, and now they're in a wild card after the win.
And they were all over it.
They wanted it.
They wanted it, and they wanted it just a little bit more than the Blackhawks, but I think there was some positives to take out of yesterday. I thought the energy level was there. Nice to see Hossa at least score, get into the mix a little bit more. I like Weiss's aggressiveness, but... It's still a loss, and you've lost 4 in a row and 5 out of their last 6.
Yes.
So, yeah, good time to go up north, get your crap straight. I almost said something wrong. Something else there, but I didn't. It'd be nice to get a win there, have some confidence coming back, beat a division opponent in the Wild on Sunday at the United Center.
Yeah, I think they can, and they got an extra reason to play now with Crawford being out. So I did like their game, like you said. Things might be trending in the right direction. Just need to get a win.
That's simple. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye. You are listening to this probably on WGNRadio.com, but also subscribe to us on iTunes. It's real easy. It's free. It takes you 2 seconds, and it goes automatically right to your phone. Then you can listen to us on the go anytime. And what we like about this podcast and something we discussed before we even started this, how many weeks ago now has that been? 21 weeks? So what is that?
21, 22. We only took one off.
Carry the 6, divide by 12. What is that, like 4 months? Does that sound right?
I think so. I just got really confused when you're carrying numbers.
Yeah, this is why I'm in radio and not an accountant.
We need an accountant in here.
But we wanted to keep it short, sweet, get right to the point. We're usually about a half an hour or so.
Yeah.
So good, nice little ride home.
People tell me they like to clean or work out while they listen.
There you go.
Great feedback. Appreciate everyone listening. And if you enjoy it, like we know you do, just leave a review on iTunes. It helps a lot.
On iTunes or just right there on Facebook, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. And I actually just got a text from my brother who likes Facebook and texted me the picture saying, looking good in my my ridiculous little...
That tiny hat is great on you.
My little...
You have a perfect head for it.
My little monkey hat. And I had it on top of my White Sox hat and then beads.
I can't ask you to change too much about your appearance. You love that Sox hat. It's a good one.
I wear it pretty much all the time because that's the beauty of working in radio. Like... I don't wear my, you know, like, you don't have to get dressed up. You don't have to wear.
But you do take it off like a wedding, right?
Oh, of course. But
okay.
This is radio, man. It's the best part. You just roll out of bed and come.
It's true.
You don't need to impress anybody here.
So they're pajama friendly around here at WGN? We could just roll in and some robes
there's
and pajamas.
There's definitely been some people with the old sweatpants walking around here.
What about a nightgown?
I haven't worn a nightgown in weeks. But I actually think I saw Steve Cochran wearing one the other day. But and speaking of green, since we're on this, did you see those last night? The Blackhawks,
the sweaters they wore.
Yeah, they're warm up.
Honestly, I will say those
they're pretty sharp.
Their green, their green jerseys are really cool as it is. It's a great color, good look for a jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones were nice. I like those. Those are maybe even better. Different, definitely different. Some things on they did it with the sleeves.
Yeah,
kind of like what do you want? Not flannel, but like I don't know. don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, but
I'm
no,
not a
they
tailor.
Were cool. They were cool, though. I mean, if you just do a quick Google image of their warm-up
jerseys
yesterday.
Yeah, I posted
yesterday.
Them on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. You did.
And they're auctioning them off for charity, too.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You might get a deal after the loss last night.
And they're trying to get shed more of a light on this global warming issue that is directly affecting the game of hockey. Now, Jonathan Toews got some crap earlier this week because he spoke out about it. Everyone's just stick. Jonathan Toews has never caused any controversy in his life. The guy gets Twitter, and then he just gives his thoughts on a issue like global warming, and he gets all these, stick to hockey, shut up, you don't know nothing.
Same things people are yelling right now at our podcast.
Yeah. Dude, like global warming is a real issue, and it is affecting the NHL directly. I remember we talked about that article. This was a while back now, but they're legitimately concerned about, you know, that the ponds around the world are not going to freeze anymore, and that's going to affect their game, and it very much can. And, you know, Jonathan Toews spoke out about it. This is a real thing. This is a real issue. And he did get some backlash for that, and I really don't know why.
You get backlash for everything, though, on Twitter.
But it's Jonathan Toews. He doesn't cause
especially anyone with a lot of followers. You're just going to get people who are just having a bad day, who are just jerks.
I think Jonathan Toews is, you know, he's Mr. Captain Serious. I think he's a very intelligent, very calculated guy.
I think so.
And I don't think he would say
he's very bright when you talk.
He would never say something or cause any sort of controversy unless he believed in what he was saying. So he believes that this global warming issue is directly affecting the game that he loves and plays. So if he wants to talk about it on a social media platform, I don't see what the big deal is.
I was not offended by him doing that.
Me neither. That was just kind of another, you know, like a little news and notes section that we're kind of doing here today on the podcast. Victor Svedberg, he gets a 2-year contract extension. I heard that and I said, okay, you know, move on.
Yeah.
Okay, big man, you know, he's got a future. He's down in.
It is something, though. They do want to keep him around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a big man on that ice and you can't miss him.
Yeah. You know, maybe they're figuring they're going to get rid of Erhoff, maybe Roosevelt could be done soon. Quinville only said good things about him early in the year when he was playing a lot.
Yeah.
So
how long has he been down in Rockford now?
Svedberg?
Yeah.
I
feel like it's
almost
been
a month.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's been a little while now. I think something like that.
So I think you could see him up a lot next year now.
Staying with Rockford too, my old host and a very good friend of mine. I actually just talked to him earlier this week. David Haugh had a great column on Brian Bickle. And we've gone over Brian Bickle on this podcast several times. We all know his story. We all know the clearing of the waivers. We know about the $4.5 million or whatever the heck he's making this year.
4 years, $4 million.
He just obviously been a disappointment. He's had some issues between the years. He's literally had issues with vertigo. And David Haugh caught up with him in Rockford and just checking out how he was doing. And it was a very well-written column. And David's incredibly talented. So
yeah.
We're going to get him on the show one of these days.
It'd be great, especially for playoffs.
Yeah, once we get closer to the playoffs.
He's done a lot on the Hawks. He'll have a lot to say.
Oh, he loves hockey. And his son is a big-time hockey player. His son's 15, Blair. He loves great. Hockey. And he's one of the few people that can intelligently speak about it. If that makes sense. Unlike
we
us.
We need more smart people talking about hockey,
unlike
just like
us. That's right.
I thought it was a really good column. Definitely check it out. I know I posted it on our site. You can just Google it or look on David Haugh's Twitter. But basically what it was is, obviously this is a tough situation for Bickle. And he kind of called him the forgotten Blackhawk because everything going on right now, we just traded, got a whole new bunch of guys. Where everyone's worried about the losing streak, what's going to happen in the playoffs. People really have forgotten about Brian Bickle, who was, you know, had a shot at winning the Conn Smythe in 2013, got a huge salary. It was a big story when they sent him down earlier in the year. And despite all that, it seems like Bickle is still trying to enjoy being in Rockford and talking to guys who ask him what it was like to win two cups and be a part of three cup-winning teams and things like that. And he thinks that he might get a chance, or he's hoping at least to get a chance to contribute in the playoffs this year. And
that'd be a great story.
It would be an awesome story.
If he could come back up in the playoffs and actually
look how he always plays in the playoffs. I don't see why not.
Yeah, and just to make a contribution.
Maybe one game.
Because you know that this is affecting him big time.
Yeah, it's very tough to see. But
everyone's like, oh, he's making $4 million. These guys are professionals. It's just like anybody
else. He's about to have a second kid, too.
He's about to have a second child. Yeah. He's a professional, and you get an ego. You know, when you get demoted, that's basically like getting demoted at your job. So let's say you went from a manager to an assistant.
One of the most popular sports teams in the country, yeah.
Yeah, you go from being on the Chicago Blackhawks, playing at the United Center, being beloved by everybody around, and then you get sent out to Rockford, which might as well be Siberia.
Yeah, he's not gonna be hurting for money, but I'm sure it's not a good feeling.
No, it's a demotion. It's like going from a manager to an assistant manager because you know what, you're just not cutting it. So we're gonna bring this guy up, and he's gonna run the shift. Okay, that kind of makes you feel bad. So
no,
I don't care who
totally,
you are. No money can ever take that away, I guess you would
say. I think a lot of people do feel for him. I think, you know, there are a lot of fans who probably cheered when he got sent down. But he's hoping to come back. And I know Haw mentioned that he just couldn't get going out of the vertigo after the vertigo symptoms were still acting up. And whatever other health issues he might have had, he just had trouble getting going this year. And he thinks he can still show what he can do and he can still contribute a lot. So I think they're going to bring him. This wasn't really mentioned in the article, but, you know, they have those group of players they bring up from Rockford, the Black Aces. You get to bring up a handful of guys for the playoffs in the NHL. And I'll be incredibly surprised if Bickle isn't one of those guys. I mean, think of his presence in the locker room, the guys he's still buddies with, and how much he has meant to that team in the playoffs. So you can expect to see him up at least hanging out with the team in the playoffs, if not getting a chance to contribute.
Probably Svedberg, too, who we just mentioned.
Yeah, definitely.
You
could always use an extra defenseman.
Especially on this team at the current moment. And a couple more news and notes here. Good article in the Sun-Times about Artemi Panarin and you're just too damn good, and how his bonuses that he's collecting and he's racking up, so it's affecting the salary cap. It's affecting the salary cap. But at the same time, his overall salary is not devastating because they still have control over him even till next year. But he's racking up the bonuses.
Yeah, I'll read this excerpt real quick from Mark Lazarus's piece in the Sun Times.
There's kinda, our Mark Lazarus
kind of with
mention.
These,
do it every
Mark,
week.
I think it's been a couple weeks. Because these kind of take a little explaining. There's a lot of figures in here.
So explaining the door.
With 25 goals and 37 assists in just 67 games, Panarin's basically a lock to hit his Schedule A bonuses, which are worth $850,000. Now, if he manages to finish in the top 10 in the league in just one of the following categories, goals, assists, points per game, or win the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP or be named a postseason NHL All-Star, it'll trigger his Schedule B bonus, which is worth a hefty $1.725 million. So the thing is this does affect their cap a bit.
Yeah, no question.
You don't want this guy who's been on fire most of the season to not be so good.
No.
So it's just something that, you know, they'll have to maneuver basically around how they're going to be able to pay him these bonuses, and they're going to have to be prepared for it.
In terms of the capologists and Scotty Bowman, you know, they want to win, but at the same time, to see that second line cool off and them go nuclear. I'm kidding. No, of course they want him. they'd like him to get every bonus, and he's just been truly incredible this year. So thought that was a good piece. And then one more little news and nugget that we wanted to get to. The Blackhawks are just so good at this stuff, and the latest one goal video that's out there features Joel Quenneville, and you see a softer side
it's
of Joel
nice.
Quenneville featuring some senior citizens, and it was you know, those are always, they're always tear jerkers. And if you haven't seen it, I'm assuming we have it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I did post it.
You did post it? Okay, because I remember I checked and then I didn't see it, but I knew you'd be all over it because that's what you do, damn it, Scott King.
I was on that one pretty quick.
And it's just one of those heartwarming great videos.
Yes, the one goal campaign.
The one goal campaign is marketing genius.
It is, and especially with who they follow up with. You know, they're getting all kinds of requests or submissions on Twitter and through email, I imagine. And this one was, they went to a retirement community where a woman was some kind of supervisor or something there. Seemed like a nice lady. But anyways, what happened was Quenneville was the official for a hockey game between some of the seniors living there. Pat Foley was calling it, which was awesome. Frank Pellico was on the organ, and Jim Cornelison sang the anthem. It was pretty cool. They were really into it, man. They had some good moves. They had some shots going.
It's like bringing the United Center right there.
It was awesome, yeah.
What's your favorite one goal so far? I still got to go. Me personally, I was thinking about this coming in
today
on the bus because I knew we were going to talk about this. I still got to go with the Girl Scout one. With Jonathan Taves and Shawzies in that one.
I wish I had.
I like that one. It's just funny.
That one's great because it's hilarious. Because anytime you get Shaw involved, especially if he's going to rip on someone like Taves, it's great. He irons the patch on.
That was when he irons the patch. And you know what?
The look of surprise on his face. Like, oh, no.
Like, that looked legit. Like, that wasn't like, all right, hey, make sure you screw this up so we can get a laugh. Like, he was trying to make it, put the patch on what is that, like a vest?
Yeah, Girl Scout vest.
Girl Scout vest.
I don't know.
Didn't put it on straight.
There's been a lot of home runs with those. There was one where they had a blind girl meet Sharp, and then she got to sit in a game, and they had her on the radio. Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. The one recently with Crawford, Tavo, and Shaw. I forgot what illness the kid had.
I think he had a leg condition or
something. Yes, some of his legs.
I know he had like leg braces.
Yes, he did. He had like some kind of braces, and he played hockey with those guys. That was awesome, too. There's a bunch of great ones.
So, yeah, that was our like little news and nuggets section we want to get to today. And, again, the big news, if you haven't heard yet and you're under a rock, Corey Crawford is day-to-day. They announced it today with an upper body injury. They've called up Michael Layton from Rockford. Scotty Darling, likely going to get the start Friday, you would think, barring he gets an upper body injury in the next 24 hours against the Jets in Winnipeg. Blackhawks come back home Sunday when they take on the Wild. It is now time, my friend, for King's Keys. We do it each and every week. Scott King, my co-host here, gives the keys for the Blackhawks for the next couple of games so the Blackhawks can pick up a couple of points in each of those games. What do you got this week?
Key number one, get back to shooting on the power play.
We
talked earlier, they've fallen to third place, 0-for-3 last night on the power play against the Flyers. They're just cycling too much and taking way too much time. You got to get those shots off from wherever. If you got a lane, take a shot, because there's going to be guys like Shaw, like Taves in front of net, and they can try to put a rebound in. And that's what was working before.
Yeah, they got to get shots on net. Everybody talked about that after the game too. I mean, nope, you got to get the puck on net when you're on the power play.
Yeah,
that's hockey 101.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Not just on special teams, but on 5-on-5. You're bringing me to my next key, Mike. 5-on-5, they need to create better chances.
Call that a segue.
It was kind of a sloppy segue. I forgot it was my second key. But they need to create better chances 5-on-5. They have to limit how they're always are mostly shooting from the point. You're farther away. What happened last night is the Flyers blocked 23 shots, and on Monday the Kings blocked 24 shots, and that's a lot. You're mm-hmm. letting a lot of guys step in front of you, maybe make a move, win some battles on the board, make some better passes, get a little closer to goaltender to try to beat them.
There you go. King's Keys for this week here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. That is Scott King. I am Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. We have time because we do have to get out of here. We started a little bit late today, and that's my fault because I had to record.
Completely your fault.
I had to do some live updates for the station.
You had to drink a couple Guinnesses around the corner.
Yeah, I wish. Trust me. Actually, I'm not a Guinness.
Sounds good.
You like Guinness?
Not like once every 2 years. It's just like it's a novelty.
It's just like drinking a milkshake. I'm not. Yeah. I'm into like. You know, like
the Guinness milkshake support.
I'm more of a cocktail guy myself. Anyway, I'm more of a whiskey guy. But when I drink beer, I drink light beer. I'm boring. I drink Miller Lite, and I don't drink a lot of IPAs.
I'm the same here. I barely drink, stuff. But when I do, I drink whatever everyone else is drinking.
So anyway, we have to get out of here soon. So we've got several questions, unfortunately, but we're only going to be able to get to one of them. And I think I'm just going to go right there at the top one with we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Mello Buffon. Why do you think the Hawks always slump this time of year?
It is
every year.
Year this time of year.
I think it's part of its conditioning. I think everybody, like I look at a guy like Anisimov, he looks tired.
By conditioning, you just mean you're tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look like they're tired.
They played a lot of hockey already.
And they really have. I'm not saying you can count for that every year, but I think they know what they're doing. Duh. They've won 3 cups in 6 years. I think that they pace themselves, and they know at this point in time that they can get – they always have a – that gear where they can kick it up a notch when they need to.
Yeah.
So I think, in a weird way, I think it's they strategically are just like, okay, we can, you know, let's just get through this month and we'll just see.
Right.
And then we'll pick it back up in April.
Well, like I said, what's going on now, and I think it's the case every year that this has happened, is it's the core guys are the ones who haven't been playing up to par. The acquisitions have been good. The guys who are new at the beginning of the year, they have been good. Taves, Kane, Ladd, those guys have been -1, -2, -3. And I listened to the post-game show with Judd on Monday, And some caller, his name is Carl, was arguing that everything that's happening is Brandon Machinter's fault. He's not good. It's not. It's not. Guy. It's not anyone in the bottom six. It's not
Brandon Machinter.
It's not any of the new guys. Judd had to actually like defend that. I was laughing and furious.
He
went Machinter, and people are doing it on our page, Mike. People don't understand it. It's the core guys, because they might be trying to save a little energy for the playoffs now. They before the last few games they were in first. They liked the spot they were in, so maybe they got a little complacent. That's what happens every year. They figure, hey, we're in a good spot for the playoffs. You know, maybe let's not go all out every game. And I'm just saying that's what it could be. And they have that switch. They kept the right core guys. Those guys are excellent, world-class players. They should be fine. They should hit that switch soon.
See, this is why the post-game show never usually takes callers.
I don't know how Judd does it. Judd is so good at that post-game show, and
we can't have nice
the callers are so asinine.
Well, most post-game shows they do. And especially hockey, you just tend to really bring out the stupid. I don't know what it is, but
I think it's the amount of beers hockey fans drink.
It could be. But yeah, that'll put a bow on it.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Michael.
Yeah, you as
Thanks
well.
For being here.
And everybody for listening, thank you. And please find us on Facebook, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. He is at Scott King Media on Twitter. I'm at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. Use the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy. Questions, comments, subscribe on iTunes as well. Next week it is, my friend, for episode 22. We'll see you then.